Blog Talk Radio.
For I cannot be silent, his love is so feeble.
Chapter 2, The Beatitudes. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As something strange and new, these words fall upon the ears of the wondering multitude. Such teaching is contrary to all they have ever heard from priest or rabbi. They see in it nothing to flatter their pride or to feed their ambitious hopes. But there is about this new teacher a power that holds them spellbound. The sweetness of divine love flows from his very presence as the fragrance from a flower. His words fall like rain upon the mown grass as showers that water the earth. All feel instinctively that here is one who reads the secrets of the soul, yet who comes near to them with tender compassion. Their hearts are open to him, and as they listen, the Holy Spirit unfolds to them something of the meaning of that lesson which humanity in all ages so needs to learn. In the days of Christ, the religious leaders of the people felt that they were rich in spiritual treasure. The spirit of the Pharisee, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, expressed the feeling of his class and to a great degree of the whole nation. But in the throng that surrounded Jesus, there were some who had a sense of their spiritual poverty. When in the miraculous draught of fishes, the divine power of Christ was revealed, Peter fell at the Savior's feet, exclaiming, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So in the multitude gathered upon the mount, there were souls who, in the presence of his purity, felt that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They long for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. In these souls, Christ's words of greeting awakened hope. They saw that their lives were under the benediction of God. Jesus had presented the cup of blessing to those who felt that they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing, and they had turned with scorn from the gracious gift. He who feels whole, who thinks that he is reasonably good, and is contented with his condition, does not seek to become a partaker of the grace and righteousness of Christ. Pride feels no need, and so it closes the heart against Christ and the infinite blessings he came to give. There is no room for Jesus in the heart of such a person. Those who are rich and honorable in their own eyes do not ask in faith and receive the blessing of God. They feel that they are full, therefore they go away empty. Those who know that they cannot possibly save themselves or of themselves do any righteous action are the ones who appreciate the help that Christ can bestow. They are the poor in spirit whom he declares to be blessed. Whom Christ pardons, he first makes penitent, and it is the office of the Holy Spirit to convince of sin. Those whose hearts have been moved by the convicting Spirit of God see that there is nothing good in themselves. They see that all they have ever done is mingled with self and sin. Like the poor publican, they stand afar off, not daring to lift up so much as their eyes to heaven and cry, God be merciful to me, the sinner. And they are blessed. There is forgiveness for the penitent, for Christ is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. God's promise is, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. A new heart also will I give you, and I will put my spirit within you. Of the poor in spirit, Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This kingdom is not, as Christ's hearers had hoped, a temporal and earthly dominion. Christ was opening to men the spiritual kingdom of his love, his grace, his righteousness. The ensign of the Messiah's reign is distinguished by the likeness of the Son of Man. His subjects are the poor in spirit, the meek, the persecuted for righteousness' sake. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Though not yet fully accomplished, the work is begun in them which will make them meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All who have a sense of their deep soul poverty, who feel that they have nothing good in themselves, may find righteousness and strength by looking unto Jesus. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." He bids you exchange your poverty for the riches of his grace. We are not worthy of God's love, but Christ our surety is worthy and is abundantly able to save all who shall come unto him. Whatever may have been your past experience, however discouraging your present circumstances, if you will come to Jesus just as you are, weak, helpless, and despairing, our compassionate Savior will meet you a great way off and will throw about you his arms of love and his robe of righteousness. He presents us to the Father, clothed in the white raiment of his own character. He pleads before God in our behalf, saying, "I have taken the sinner's place. Look not upon this wayward child, but look on me." Does Satan plead loudly against our souls, accusing of sin and claiming us as his prey? The blood of Christ pleads with greater power. Surely shall one say, "In the Lord have I righteousness and strength. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory." Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The mourning here brought to view is true heart sorrow for sin. Jesus says, "I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me." And as one is drawn to behold Jesus uplifted on the cross, he discerns the sinfulness of humanity. He sees that it is sin which scourged and crucified the Lord of glory. He sees that while he has been loved with unspeakable tenderness, his life has been a continual scene of ingratitude and rebellion. He has forsaken his best friend and abused heaven's most precious gift. He has crucified to himself the Son of God afresh, and pierced anew that bleeding and stricken heart. He is separated from God by a gulf of sin that is broad and black and deep, and he mourns in brokenness of heart. Such mourning shall be comforted. God reveals to us our guilt that we may flee to Christ and through him be set free from the bondage of sin and rejoice in the liberty of the sons of God. In true contrition, we may come to the foot of the cross and there leave our burdens. The Savior's words have a message of comfort to those who are suffering affliction or bereavement. Our sorrows do not spring out of the ground. God doth not willingly afflict nor grieve the children of man. When he permits trials and afflictions, it is for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. If received in faith, a trial that seems so bitter and hard to bear will prove a blessing. The cruel blow that blights the joys of earth will be the means of turning our eyes to heaven. How many there are who would never have known Jesus had not sorrow led them to seek comfort in him. The trials of life are God's workmen to remove the impurities and roughness from our character. Their hewing, squaring, and chiseling, their burnishing and polishing is a painful process. It is hard to be pressed down to the grinding wheel. But the stone is brought forth prepared to fill its place in the heavenly temple. Upon no useless material does the Master bestow such careful, thorough work. Only his precious stones are polished after the similitude of a palace. The Lord will work for all who put their trust in him. Precious victories will be gained by the faithful. Precious lessons will be learned. Precious experiences will be realized. Our Heavenly Father is never unmindful of those whom sorrow has touched. When David went up the Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered and he went barefoot, the Lord was looking pityingly upon him. David was clothed in sackcloth and his conscience was scourging him. The outward signs of humiliation testified of his contrition. In tearful, heartbroken utterances, he presented his case to God, and the Lord did not forsake his servant. Never was David nearer to the heart of infinite love than when, conscience smitten, he fled for his life from his enemies, who had been stirred to rebellion by his own son. The Lord says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Christ lifts up the contrite heart and refines the mourning soul until it becomes his abode. But when tribulation comes upon us, how many of us are like Jacob? We think it the hand of an enemy, and in the darkness we wrestle blindly until our strength is spent and we find no comfort or deliverance. To Jacob, the divine touch at break of day revealed the one with whom he had been contending, the angel of the covenant. And weeping and helpless, he fell upon the breast of infinite love to receive the blessing for which his soul longed. We also need to learn that trials mean benefit, and not to despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when we are rebuked of him. Happy is the man that God correcteth. He maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. To every stricken one, Jesus comes with a ministry of healing. The life of bereavement, pain, and suffering may be brightened by precious revealings of his presence. God would not have us remain pressed down by dumb sorrow with sore and breaking hearts. He would have us look up and behold his dear face of love. The blessed Savior stands by many whose eyes are so blinded by tears they do not discern him. He longs to clasp our hands, to have us look to him in simple faith, permitting him to guide us. His heart is open to our griefs, our sorrows, and our trials. He has loved us with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness compassed us about. We may keep the heart stayed upon him and meditate upon his loving kindness all the day. He will lift the soul above the daily sorrow and perplexity into a realm of peace. Think of this, children of suffering and sorrow, and rejoice in hope. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The ills we see, the mysteries of sorrow deep and long, the dark enigmas of permitted wrong, have all one key. This strange, sad world is but our Father's school. All chance and change his love shall overrule. What though today thou canst not trace at all the hidden reason for his strange dealings through the trial season, trust and obey, in after life and light all shall be plain and clear. Blessed are they also who weep with Jesus in sympathy with the world's sorrow and in sorrow for its sin. In such mourning there is intermingled no thought of self. Jesus was the man of sorrows, enduring heart anguish such as no language can portray. His spirit was torn and bruised by the transgressions of men. He toiled with self-consuming zeal to relieve the wants and woes of humanity, and his heart was heavy with sorrow as he saw multitudes refuse to come to him that they might have life. All who are followers of Christ will share in this experience as they pertain.
Amen, amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters, and happy Sabbath. Pray that all had a blessed week thus far, and welcome to Sabbath. And what a joy it is to welcome the Sabbath, because it's been a very eventful week and lots of working and lifting. But I praise and I thank the Lord for the Sabbath, and I just want to glorify him right now. Let us pray. Kind and loving Father, you know what's best for each and every one of us. Lord, I ask that you will forgive me of my sins, my trespasses, my brothers and my sisters. Help us, O Father, to draw closer to you. Help us, O Father, to truly keep the Sabbath, to long for it, to wait for it, to try to get everything done so that we can be ready to meet you. O Lord, what a day will be to meet you in the sky and to see you face to face and to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Oh, Father, help us to be obedient. Help us to be grateful and thankful. Help us to surrender everything to you, oh, Lord. We need that heart of surrender, that heart of love for each other, for the dying world, for the sick, oh Father. We know that your kingdom is not of this world, and we are of your kingdoms, oh Father. So help us to have a kingdom mind. Help us that our thoughts will be on heavenly things and not earthly things, because this earth shall pass away, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify, we magnify your name. Bless our brothers and sisters again, their family and friends, Lord. Answer their prayer, Lord, and haste the footstep of those that will be joining us, Lord. We thank you ever so much that we can come together and praise you and talk of your goodness and worship you in spirit and in truth, O Lord. We thank you again in Jesus' mighty name. We pray, amen. Amen. Again, happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters, and welcome this evening to Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. This is Sister Carla, and I am your host. God is good, and he's truly worthy to be praised, brothers and sisters. And I will share a reading. Amen. And this is Psalms 20, chapter 24, starting at verse 1. It says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he had founded it upon the sea, and established it upon the flood. Whom shall ascend into the hills of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place?" That's the question. And verse 4 says, "He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." So let us, brothers and sisters, ask the Lord to help us to have a clean hands and pure hearts, and help us to be righteous so that we can receive the blessing from the Lord of our salvation. Amen. So we cannot stand by ourselves on our own merit. We have to stand on Christ's merit, what he have done for us, how he have overcame. We have to take a hold of his strength. As he wake up early to commune with his Father, we should wake up early to commune with him. So Lord, help us where we are weak and where we have come short. Amen. Is there anyone that would like to share? Please press 1 so that I can open your line, so that you can give your testimony, prayer requests, scripture reading, song of meditation, or if you also want to pray also, please press 1 so that I can open your line, brothers and sisters. And I just want to welcome those that are joining us via the internet and those that will be listening to this rebroadcast at another time. I just want to welcome you and say happy Sabbath. It is truly good to serve the Lord, to talk of his goodness, and to worship him in spirit and in truth. Because what we're doing now is preparing us for heaven. Amen. Just a part of my devotion until someone pressed 1. It says, it's from Our High Calling. It says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. We have to let our speech be always with grace. We shouldn't be harsh. We shouldn't be quick to talk and slow to listen. We should listen and then ask the Lord, how should I respond within love? How, or maybe I ought not to respond at this time. And it says this, talent of speech was given to be used for the benefit of all. Pleasant, cheery word costs more than unpleasant, moody word. Sharp word wounds and bruises the soul. So what bruises and wounds the soul is sharp word, because we cannot take back our words. We can say sorry, but they have come out of our mouth already. Even a look or our deeds are very hurtful at times. In this life, everyone has difficulty with which to wrestle. Everyone meets with grievance and disappointment. This is so true. Shall we not bring sunshine instead of gloom into the lives of those whom we come in contact? and especially those in our home. We have to be careful how we treat our family too, husband and wife, children, grandchildren. Shall we not speak words that will help and bless? Such words will be just as verily a blessing to us as to those to whom they are spoken. So we have to watch our words, because when we speak them, it's going to be a blessing to the hearer and to those that are speaking them. So I pray that the Lord will convict us all of, you know, whatever we have done or said that was not according to his will. So I'll go ahead and open the line. Again, happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. And I'll go ahead and open the line for 518-482. Your line is now open.
Thank you. Good evening, my dear brothers and sisters. It is a wonderful and happy privilege to speak to my comforting words to my fellow brothers and sisters. You know, this week was a very busy week for me, very, very busy. And one of my main aim this week was to go out and take some, every time I go out for a walk, some books with me and give out. And it was so enjoyable in that, because the people there were very happy to receive those books, Steps to Christ, Desire of Ages. You know the books that we have. I work with but four, The Mark of the Beast. I said these are the books we need to give out at this time. So I was very happy in doing that, because in doing that, I make other people feel very, very happy and blessed, because I know at some point, I pray before I give out these books that the Lord would bless them and tell them to read it. They would see some very interesting things that is happening in the world today. And by God's grace, next week, that will be my aim, to go around and give out some books. Myself and a friend, we're going to go out and give books, share as much as possible, you know, to those who are out there and need the word of God. You know, it is possible, it's very possible for us to attend church consistently, feasting on a spiritual banquet. Just imagine that each week we go to church, have a spiritual banquet, and still die of spiritual heart attack. Can you imagine that? Without a clear focus on the service, our spiritual arteries become clogged. For this reason, Jesus said, "It is more." Jesus said, "It was more blessed to give than to receive." In Acts 20:35, if you read that, I could read that for you quickly. It was more blessed to give. It says, "Wow." Acts 20:35. Let me read it quickly. Oh boy. Let me read it quickly. It says, "I have never converted anyone, coveted anyone's money or fine clothing. You know that these hands of mine, have worked to pay my own, and I have supplied the needs of those who were with me. And I have been a constant example of how you can help the poor by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus, which says, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" You know, my dear brothers and sisters, in giving, we are blessed. As we share with others what Jesus has done for us, our spiritual experience is strengthened. And the more we give, always, our faith we share, the more we share our faith, the more we will be receiving, and also we will be strengthened, and it grows when we share. We grow when we share what we have with others. So I just want to share this little, that little quotation there for you, and I think it's very, very good to work for Jesus. Because I used to be with the children most of the time in my young days. I used to teach the kids. And so I love these little songs, these little chorus that says, oh boy, you have to have some have some patience with me there. Yes, I love these little songs that they put here together. It's love that makes us happy. It's love that soothes the way. It makes us kind to others every day. And, you know, every day as we go along, we see so many people who just need the Lord. We see people who just need the Lord. And we should be not passing them, just give them a smile sometimes. We can just give them a smile or just say something to help them, and it would make their hearts lighter and something for them to study about, you know. But when we see people going wrong, sometimes we don't even want to smile with them, and it makes life harder for them. So we are happy. I am happy that I can do a little to bring sunshine in somebody's soul. Some soul, something to do to help somebody. And that is my aim next week. And the following week coming, I will be going, trying to go there and give somebody something, some word of cheer. You know what? Today I went to the home. I went and helped my brother there. And he was so happy when we went there to see him. I went there, we showered him, we cleaned him up nice for the weekend, fixed him up, and then I fed him. I carried some nice soup for him, made some nice soup, and he enjoyed it. And you can see how happy he felt just for our presence there and just helping him. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to be more helpful and to look around us and to see what joy we could take to somebody, how we could help, because that is what I like to do, to help. And when we help, we bring joy to people's hearts. I would like to sing this song, Joy By and By, because, you know, there are so many sad people out there today. They just want a little bit of encouragement. And I think that we could do much better in trying to help those around us. If you like this song, if you know it, you could sing it along with me. Oh, there'll be joy when the work is done. Joy when the reapers gather home. But in the shades are set up sun to the new Jerusalem. Joy, joy, there be joy by and by. Joy, joy, where the joy never dies. Joy, joy, for the day draweth nigh, when the workers gather home. Sweet are the songs that we hope to sing. Grateful the thanks our hearts shall bring. Praising forever Christ our King in the New Jerusalem. Joy, joy, there be joy by and by. Joy, joy, where the joys never die. Joy, joy, for the day draw at night when the workers gather home. Pure are the joys that await us there.
many the golden mansions fair, Jesus himself does them prepare in the new Jerusalem. Joy, joy, baby, joy, by and by. Joy, joy, in the world every day. Joy, joy, for the day, joy at night, when the workers go home.
Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, it is our duty to bring joy and to spread joy to these sudden hearts around us day by day. As we go on the road and we see these people who are really in need of something, there is always needy people if you look around. There are always people who need something. So if you look around you, your troubles grows. If you look around you, see just trouble everywhere. But when we look to God, our trouble goes. So I want us to remember this, if nothing else tonight, to remember that when we give, we make others happy. And God is pleased when we do these things. So let us, by God's grace, try to be a help to somebody as we go through the next coming week. I just want to say a short prayer. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to come as brothers and sisters to join our voices in giving you praise and thanks for keeping us during the 6 working days of toil and labor, and has brought us here on this beautiful Sabbath evening to begin your holy Sabbath day of rest. Father, we thank you. We praise you. And our tongue cannot express enough joy when we think of this Sabbath day of rest that you have caused to come down to this earth to your weary children, Father. I pray that you will bless each one that come on the line this evening, Lord. Bring them here to listen to your word, Lord. Because the time is drawing near when we may not be able to meet in this fashion. And Lord, this evening I pray those who are taking it very lightly, that they will take the opportunity of coming on this line and giving you praise and thanks, that others may be able to learn of your goodness and your saving grace. Father, bless us tonight and all those who, the silent listeners who will be on this line tonight, listening to whatever is being said. May their heart be touched in some way or the other, and may they continue to learn of your goodness and your mercy, and to know that this opportunity would not always be open to us. Bless us, Lord, and bless the leaders of this group, Sister Powell and Sister Paulo. Father, we pray that you will continue to bless all, everyone, even the names which I cannot remember, Lord, those who come here daily. I pray nightly whenever we reach together. I pray, Lord, that you will bless us all and strengthen us and help us to go out there and to tell others that Jesus loves every one of us, no matter what we are, no matter who we are. He just loves all of us, and Jesus loves everyone. And this evening, I just want us all to know that, and that we will go out there and tell somebody in our own little way that Jesus is coming soon, and he loves every one of us. Thank you, dear Father, for keeping us during this week, and thank you, Lord, for giving us strength that we can come here to testify of your goodness and your mercy towards us. Bless us and bless each one that comes on this line again, I pray tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Sister Paula, for opening my line. Thank
amen.
You. Happy
praise
Sabbath.
Lord.
Mm-hmm. Happy
yes,
Sabbath.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Consonelli. Amen. Praise the Lord. Your reading, your song, your prayer is such a blessing to hear you on this line. You contribute a lot, and you know, we're all one. It's a team effort. Me, Sister Powell, Sister Leola, Brother Udy, Sister Stephanie, Brother O'Neill, and each and everyone that comes on. It's a team effort, and the angels are with us. So I just thank the Lord for each and every one of you and for how the Lord has kept you. And I'll go to the next caller again. Happy Sabbath, 985-232. Your line is now open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. It's Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. First, I want to thank God for being in our life and blessing us and loving us. And I thank him for all he's doing for us. I would like to read a devotion, prayer. Help us live this day as dead indeed to sin and in alive indeed to you. Wait, excuse me. Hold on. Help us to live this day as dead indeed to sin and live indeed to you, O Lord. You are the source of our life and the focus of our life. All of the spiritual exercise that you emanate in us are directed back to you as the object of our affection, praise, and praises. We renew minds and wills. Let us serve you out of pure heart, faithful. Amen. Just want to thank God for his words and use to remember and put them to work. We want to thank him for all the blessings of us living today. Thank him for waking us up and watching over us last night. We want to pray for all the ones that have missed this place, like myself and Brother John. We still living in Sister Viola Town, Baton Rouge. It's about maybe almost 2 hours from my home. And we're still working on our home. So I pray to God by the end of the month we will be back in. So God is good because the roof is on and it's beautiful. It's thick, the tree gone. So it's going to be livable now. So I thank God for that. He didn't get a miracle because it was a lot of work where the tree had broke through the roof. It was so much stuff. Thank God for that. And so we'll be back home and we'll be glad because grandkids are separated and going to different schools and it's rough on them because they are, you know, they're with different people. But I thank God he has somebody look after while their mother worked because we never knew this was going to happen. But God had his way planned for us before it happened. That's why he's on time God. Yeah, he's on time God. So I thank God. And just want to pray for the brothers and sisters on this prayer line, all this help we have and giving us the message and the words of encouragement. And thank them for all the work they've been putting out for years. And just want to pray for our mother, Sister Powell, Joe, this one on the line. And just continue praying for all the ministry and all your projects y'all have coming up. Pray for the sick, the homeless, and all the ones just sleeping outside and pray that they can come to some agreement with God so they can get back in, especially my nephew because he's just lost. And we're just praying that God touch him in a way that he needs to see for himself that he's a real God. So I thank God for that. He's going to, as long as he got breath, the Lord will see him through. So I just want to thank God for each and every one. Y'all have a blessed day. Amen.
Hello. This is Brother John from Houma, Louisiana. Just wanted to say that want to say happy Sabbath too from me and my wife to y'all. And also, I want to say that I realized something I was thinking today about. Sometimes I think about my past life before I started seeking God and Jesus, and I think about now. I compare it. I think of the when I compare it, it's much better now. And I was thinking one day, I thought about, I used to argue that one time I wanted to share it with everyone. I used to say, oh, my clothes, you know, me and a friend of mine might shoot pool or something back then in a day. We'd be like, I'm better than you. No, I shoot better than you. And I thought about the clothes. Man, your clothes are more expensive than mine. And we argue about the cars and different things and competition. And now I told my wife the other day, I realized something. The only one I'm in competition with now is myself. Only thing I do is I compete with myself and in competition to get better and better as the days go by, the weeks. I want to be better than I was last year, the year before, and every year I want to get better, better every day, month. I'm just competing with myself to do better and better. So it's a big change with that competing, only just against myself. So God bless. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda, for coming on and sharing. Yes, God is truly good, and he's worthy to be praise how he has changed us and, you know, where he has brought us from and how we're growing in grace and, you know, we're increasing in knowledge according to his will. May we trust in him and give our hearts to him. And again, thank you for the prayer and for sharing. God bless you. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining us this evening. It's truly good to come together with brothers and sisters. You know, it's been, over five years? Wow, about 6 years, going on 7 years that I have known most of you, and we have been on this prayer line. So, wow, most marriages don't last that long. So I just thank the Lord for each and every one of you and for your dedication and for, you know, just your willingness to come and share and your presence here. So I'll go ahead and open the next line, 225-337. Your line is now open.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola, and I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Sister Carla, I would love to do a song, just the first part for the sake of time, but I want to have my reading from John 1. 35, but I'm reading, I love these little stories, these children books. So I'm reading about the disciples, so I'm going to read that quickly. It says, when Emmanuel came out of the wilderness, having passed through the great temptation and having been ministered to by the angels, he was filled with the Spirit of God. He came again, place where John was baptizing. It was about 4:00. In the afternoon, John was standing with two disciples, one of them also named John, and the other one Andrew. Seeing Emmanuel passing by, brothers and sisters, I use Emmanuel. Emmanuel. And it says, Emmanuel passed by. John the Baptist said to his disciples, look, there is the Lamb of God. Andrew and John quickly left him and hastened after Emmanuel. Turned around, he said to them, what are you looking for? They said, teacher, where are you staying? Come and see, he invited them. So they did, and they spent the rest of the day with him. Andrew said, I want my brother Simon to be in on this. And he hurried away to find him. When Andrew brought Simon, Emmanuel looked upon him and said, you are Simon, the son of Jonas. You shall be called Caiaphas. I believe I'm saying it right. That is a Greek name, which is Latin. It says Peter. And in English, it means rock or stone. Even after that, he was called Simon Peter, more often just Peter. The next day, Emmanuel determined to leave and go to Galilee. But first he found Philip and said to him, "Come with me." And Philip did. But right away he went and found his friend named Nathanael. Now all these men were from Galilee. Andrew, Peter, John, and Philip lived in Bethsaida, though some of them also had property in Capernaum. Nathanael's home was in Cana, a little town near Nazareth. Philip said to Nathanael, "We have found one about whom Moses and the prophet wrote. It is Emmanuel, the son of Joseph, who come from Nazareth." Nathanael, like everybody else up there, did not think very much of the town, and he said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said, "Come and see." So Nathanael went with him, and when Emmanuel saw him coming, he greeted him. "Here is really an Israelite, true and honest." Nathanael was surprised. "How do you know me?" he asked. Emmanuel said, "While you were still under that fig tree before Philip called you," he said, "I saw you." Now Nathanael had been praying in secret under the droopy branches of the fig tree. He knew that hiding there, no one could see him but God. So he exclaimed, "Master, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." That was how quickly he was converted. He had found that of wicked Nazareth. And sisters and brothers, I had 2 points in this. One, when his brother Andrew said, Andrew told Christ that he was going to go look for his brother Andrew, and he went found him quickly, and he brought him to Christ. And another one, when Philip brought Nathanael to Christ, and Christ said, "I knew you before Philip brought you to." So that's how we are to bring our, people out in the world to Christ. Christ know each and every one of them, and he said we ought to go get them. So I just want to give God thanks, and I want to sing this song quickly, just one stanza, Sister Carla. Sweet, excuse me, let me start this over. Sweet promise is given to all who believe. Behold, I come glad, my own to receive. How fast, hold fast till I come. The danger is great. Sleep not as do others. Be watchful and wait. Hold fast till I come. Sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restore, to you shall be given. Come enter my joy. Sit down on my throne. Bright crowns are in waiting. Hold fast till I come. I love that song. Sweet promise is given. And Christ said, if we do what he bid us to do, to go out and bring the message to the people in the world, we have a promise that is given. He said that he promised us that he came. He came from his Father, and he said he come to receive us, and he's going to bring us back. So that promise is given, that Christ has already redeemed us. Now we got to stay faithful and obedient unto him until he comes. So I just want to thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. I want to thank the Father for for the prayer line and the sisters and brothers, even my sister and my brother-in-law who's been on the prayer line for such a long time and being on the prayer line with my sister. So thank our Father for what he has done for us and his son Emmanuel's name. Amen. Thank you, Sister Call, for opening my line once again. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Leola, for coming on and sharing and singing that song. That's a beautiful song. Sweet promises given to all who believe. Praise the Lord. His promises are sure. They're true. They're in the Bible, and we can see them and claim them for ourselves and for our family. Amen. We ought to pray without ceasing. Praise the Lord. God is truly good, and he is worthy to be praised, my brothers and sisters. And there's so many beautiful songs in this hymnal. I'm used to the same old song, but I'm learning new song, and I'm just praising the Lord. And he said, make a joyful noise. We ought to make a joyful noise and praise him with our voices. Amen. I'll go to the next call. Happy Sabbath again, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. 631-552, your line is now open.
Happy Sabbath. Just a call. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters, and Edward Light prayer line. Thank you for opening up my line. One thank God for his love, his grace, and his mercy. I thank him for always working out things, step by step, day by day, the more we humble ourselves, the more God can do things according to his will. I'm going to share this song before I share a reading. Tempted and tried, where help me to wonder why she should be thus ordered alone, while there are others living about us. Nevertheless, it though in the wrong, Father alone will know all about it. Further along, we understand why. Cheer up, my brothers, living the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Faithful to death is our loving Savior. A few more days, labor and wait. Cause of the Lord will then be as nothing. As we walk through that beautiful gate, further on we'll know all about it. Further on we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brothers, living the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Further along, we'll know all about it. Further along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brothers, living the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Often I wonder why I must journey over a road so rugged and steep, while there are others living in comfort. While with the lost I labor and weep, further along we'll know all about it. Further along pondered and wise. Cheer up my brother, living the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Cheer up my brother, living the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Let me read this quote from Pamphlet 20, 4.3 to 4.5. Here it is said: our cities are to be work. To devote our efforts to other worthy enterprise and leave on work our cities, in which are large numbers of all nationalities, is not wise. A beginning is now to make, and means must be raised that the work may go forward. With mighty power, the cry is again to be sounded in our large centers of population. Behold, the bridegroom coming. Go ye out to meet him. Money is needed for the prosecution of the work. New York, Boston, Portland, Philadelphia, Buffalo, Chicago, St. Louis, New Orleans, and many other cities. In some of these places, the people were mightily stirred by the message given in 1842 to 1844. But of late years, little has been done compared to the great work that ought to be in progress. And it seems difficult to make our people feel a special burden for the work in the large cities. I appeal to our brethren who have heard the message for many years, time to wake up the watchmen. I have expended my strength in giving the message the Lord has given me. The burden of the needs of our city has rested so heavily upon me that it has sometimes that I should die. May the Lord give wisdom to our brethren, that they may know how to carry forward the work in harmony with the will of the Lord. Signed, Ellen G. White. Thank you, Sister Caller, for opening up my line.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother O'Neill, for joining us, and thank you for the reading and also the song. We are living in very solemn time, brothers and sisters, in earth history. And sometimes, you know, you want to be afraid, but we know God have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And we know that he will protect, he will guide, he will keep those, you know, that look unto him, those that praise him, those that worship him, those that have called him Savior, Lord of Lord, King of Kings. And he will keep us, as in Jude. Let me turn there. Jude, and Jude only has one verse. We know the Lord will keep us, so we ought not to be ashamed or fearful of anything. We know that these things must come to pass before the Lord is to come, and he has warned us about these things. God is truly good. And okay, Jude, and I'll read it. I thought at 24 it says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy. Amen. Verse 25. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And again, to our only wise God, our Savior, dominion and power, majesty, you know, from the beginning and even now, God knows what will happen from the beginning. And what a mighty God we serve. And there's a song that I will attempt to sing. It's a beautiful song. I have never heard it in the church, but This other group on Zoom that I meet with, they sing song and I learn new songs, and it's such a blessing. And it is 464. When I can read my title clear, 464. And this is for each and every one of us, because we have to know what our title is. We're kings and priests, and we're disciples of Jesus. We're ambassadors, and we have to know who we are, who we belong to. Amen? It says, it goes, when I can read my title clear to mansions in the sky, I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes, and wipe my weeping eyes, and wipe my weeping eyes. I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes. Should earth against my soul engage and fiery dark be hurled, then I can smile at Satan rage and face a frowning world, and face a frowning world, and face a frowning world. Then I can smile at Satan's rage and face a frowning world. Let cares like a wall deluge come and storms those shat sorrow fall. But I may safely reach my home, my God, my heaven, my own. My God, my heaven, my all. My God, my heaven, my all. But may I but safely reach my home, my God, my heaven, my all. Amen. So that was a beautiful song. Title again is When I Can Read My Title Clear in 464. Praise the Lord. Now I'll go to the next caller again. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. 857-505. Your line is now open.
Hello, Sister Carla. Hello, my brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath, Sister Carla. Happy Preparation Day, my dear brothers and sisters. My name is Brother Eli. I like to praise God because God is good. He's awesome. He's the Alpha and Omega. I like to thank God for his love, for his mercy. He is good, Sister Carla. God is our God is our deliverer. God will deliver you all, brothers and sisters, on this prayer line, brothers and sisters. God, I have a special message from you today, brothers and sisters. Just like Sister Carla say, brothers and sisters, let's preach the word of God, brothers and sisters. People out there who needs the Lord, people out there who are suffering, just like Brother Yudi say, brothers and sisters, just like Brother Bernard said, brothers and sisters, trust in the Lord because he is good. He's awesome. He's worthy to be praised. I like to thank God for his love, Sister Carla. God is amazing. God, he is Emmanuel, El Shaddai, Adonai. There is no one else like him, Sister Carla. I have a prayer request tonight. My prayer request tonight is to pray for my mom. Lift up my mom in prayer because my mom needs a lot of prayer. Don't forget to pray for my mom. Pray for Brother Jamal too. Lift up Brother Jamal in prayer, Sister Carla. Brother Jamal, starting at J, J, A, Jamal. Pray for Brother Jamal and pray for Brother Jari. Lift for Brother Jari in prayer because he needs a lot of prayer. Sister Carla, pray for Brother Jari that the Lord will baptize him. Pray for Sister Shamika starting in S-H-E-M-I-C-A, Sister Shamika, little Sister Shamika in prayer because she needs some prayer too. Don't forget to pray for Sister Shania, pray for Sister Shania, Sister Tina. Don't forget to pray for Brother James, Sister Carla. His name's Brother James, but he almost has the same name as Brother Akeem James, but his name is James. Lift up James in prayer because Sister Carla, I don't know what's going on to him, but yesterday I tell him that trust in the Lord. I tell that young man, trust in the Lord. I tell him on the van, Sister Carla, trust in the Lord because God is able to do. God is able. God is amazing, God. God is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. I have a song of praise, Sister Carla. I have a song of praise. And Sister Carla, don't forget to pray for our dear sister. Sister Tamiko, lift up Sister Tamiko in prayer. Don't forget to pray for Sister Dorothy. Pray for Sister Dorothy, Sister Tamiko. Pray for Brother Tony. Lift up Brother Tony in prayer. Pray for Brother Taiwan. Lift up Brother Taiwan in prayer. Don't forget to pray for Sister KDN. Sister KDN needs prayer to Sister Carla. Lift up Sister KDN in prayer. Pray for her that the Lord will make her go to church. Pray for her that the Lord will baptize her. Pray for her, Sister Carla. She will say, yes, Lord, I am ready to baptize. I am not afraid. The Lord is my rock and my salvation. Who shall I be afraid? And pray for Brother Taiwan that Brother Taiwan will say, yes, Lord, I am ready to baptize. I am ready to be Seventh-day Adventist. God, in the name of Jesus. Sister Carla, I feel like to sing a song at this moment. My brothers and sisters, let's sing with me. Sister Carla and Brother O'Neill, my brothers and sisters, let's lift up our hand. Let's sing together. Let's sing. Let's praise God. Let's worship him. Let's magnify his name because he is good. He's awesome. He's worthy to be praised. Let's sing that song, Sister Carla. I got my mind made up. Let's sing, Brother O'Neill. I got my mind made up because God is able. God is able to break every chain. He's a mighty God. He's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. I got my mind made up, and I won't turn back because I won't see my Jesus someday. I got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, cause I won't see my Jesus someday. I got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, cause I won't see my Jesus someday. I got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, cause I won't see my Jesus someday. Good white world, who are you? Good white grandchild, I'm singing. Where are you? I'm in my mind. Go that way the rest of my life. I make up my mind. Go that way the rest of my life. I got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, cause I won't see my Jesus someday. I got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, cause I won't see my Jesus someday. I got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, cause I won't see my Jesus someday. Sing it, Sister Carla. I got my mind made up,
And I won't turn back, cause I won't see my Jesus someday. I got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, cause I won't see my Jesus someday. I got my mind, made up, and I won't turn back, cause I won't see my Jesus someday. May God bless you on the prayer line, brothers and sisters. May God bless you, Brother Yuli. Brother Yuli, just like Sister Carla say, trust in the Lord because God is good. Today's the day that the Lord has made. Mm-hmm. Sister Carla, let us rejoice and be glad that today's the day that the Lord has made, brothers and sisters. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, just like Sister Carla say, just like Sister Viola say, today's the day how the Lord has made. Oh, let us rejoice and be glad in it, brothers and sisters. God will break every chain, brothers and sisters. Trust in the Lord because he is able. He's a mighty God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. There is no one else like him, Sister Carla. He's the King. He is the King of Kings. He is Jehovah Nisi. He's Jehovah. He is Emmanuel. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Eli, for coming on and sharing and just singing your heart out and making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good and he's worthy to be praised. And I just thank the Lord for your presence and for your prayer request. Amen. Amen. Thank you again. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. And it's a joy to be on the prayer line with each and every one of you to bring in the Sabbath and to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And we know that Jesus died for our sins. He bore he took on the penalty. He bore our sins. The nails was driven through his hands, through his feet. He was whipped, spit on, and he did it all for us. So let us praise him and thank him and worship him and tell others about him and not to be ashamed of the gospel. Amen. So I will go to the next caller. I just thank the Lord again for each and every one of you. 518-951, happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Okay. Peace Sabbath, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. Peace Sabbath, Sister Carla. Thank this is Sister Powell calling from upstate New York, and I just want to thank God that I am here joined, and thank you, my dear sister, beloved sister, daughter, to Hope and Marline. Brothers and sisters, God is so good. God is so great. When I listen to my dear beloved brother Eli and to hear the joy within brother Eli's heart, you know that this song, I got my mind made up. Brother Eli determined. He is just sharing the love of Christ to let everyone know that his mind is made up. And he is asking the Lord not to let him turn back because he wants to see his Savior, his Father, his Creator someday. So, Brother Eli, we want to thank you for your love and your blessings that you have showered down upon God's people on this line. And we are continuing praying for you, Brother Eli, because we have seen what God have done. God have done so much thing for you and for myself and for all of us on this line. As brothers, as sisters, as mothers, as uncles, and as niece. So we just have to give God thanks for that. That wonderful, wonderful praise report that you have and the love that you have in your heart for us. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, I have to give God all the praise that he has done for me. And the very many, many praise reports. I had a great week this week. My granddaughter, great-granddaughter was here, baby, she's 6 months, and she was here with us for a few days, She went home back this evening, and brothers and sisters, she's really, really, when I look and I saw this little young baby and the joy in that baby, my heart, I just say, Lord, I thank God for what both the parents and the family members and the life that they have been instilling in that little child, showing that little child from a little one, as little as she is, that they are showing that little child, training that little child to fear God. This little girl, as 6 months, when you go and you started to sing, you know, and sing, yes, Jesus loved me, and she is in this song, right? Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And this little girl is singing. You see the mouth opening, and she is singing with you. And I am so thankful to the Lord for what he has been doing for that little baby. And my dear brothers and sisters, her name is Blake. And I'm asking each one of you to remember that little baby in your prayer. I got some books. I have a stack of books, you know, a spiritual book, story book of Moses, Daniel, Solomon, and, you know, all these stories in those little books. And I read some scripture, some story for that little girl, and, you know, she's just enjoying it as a baby. And a great praise report, another great praise report, that one of my neighbor called the other day, and she said to me, "Sis, have you any storybook for children? I have four parents who asked me for some books for their children." And I told her yes. So I was able, my dear brothers and sisters, to give them a over five little storybooks, the whole of story about Samuel, Joshua, and Joseph, and also gave them a big story book with the Word of God. And also, I also share the Ten Commandments with them, and also put a great controversy in the package that I got, and her husband came for it yesterday. So I'm praying and asking for prayer that the parents, that family who received that those package with those books, that they will read it and also share with others. So that's my praise report, brothers and sisters. God is so good. He has been keeping me, and I will just offer a little word of prayer. Kind and loving, righteous Father, we just want to thank you for the privilege of this blessed Sabbath day that you have given unto us, Lord. We thank you for your love that you have extended upon each one of us on this land as family, Lord. We thank you, Father, for taking us out on the busy street, Lord, during the 6 days. And now, dear Lord, you brought us back here that we can come to give you praises and to let you know how much we appreciate everything that you have done. We lift up this group to you, dear Lord, or your brothers, your sisters, Lord, your nieces, nephews, and everyone, dear Father, who are here with you this moment. You know every name, my dear brother Eli, the request is his prayer request is, Lord, for himself, his mother, Johari, Javel, James, and all of us, Lord. We also lift up Sister Carla with her children, family members, Brother Yudi, family members and children. We lift up Elder Rick, Lord, with family members and children and grandchildren, the Richardson family members with children and grandchildren, Lord, Sister Cancinelli family, and Sister Barnaby family, Sister Carlo family, Sister Leola family, Brother Elder Lewis family, Lord Jesus, we lift them up to you. For Sister Brenda and Brother John, dear Lord, Brother O'Neill, wonderful praise report of his daughter, Lord, that the cast came off her feet, and now she's walking, dear, without crutches, Lord. Those are good news. We want to thank you for the good news report that you have given unto us by Brother O'Neill. Come to share, Lord, some of these report that is happening to allow us to know the time that we are in and how we are supposed to be ready and preparing ourselves for this final event. Father, we are so thankful to all the things that you have been doing. Lord, we thank you for Sister Stephanie, Lord, the resources that she brought, Lord, on this line, and also the other Chat and Chew line, Brother Elroy, manservant who is doing your work, Lord, and carrying out the gospel. We thank you for the many Bible studies that have been going out, the many books that have been going out. So, dear Father, tonight, this blessed Sabbath, we present Pastor Akeem James to you, Lord. Continue to strengthen that young man that he will carry out this duty that you have given unto him. And now, dear Lord, we present the speaker to you. Allow the speaker to come with words of encouragement, words, Lord, to edify, words, Lord, to allow us, Lord, at this time that we to be ready, Lord, for this final crisis. Bless us this day, we pray, Lord, and asking you as we present all these requests to you, we ask you to hear them according to your will and answer them. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. And we lift up our young people and to you, Lord, this moment. The pastors and the leaders of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, allow them to come together, dear God, that they can encourage their brothers and sisters for the time that we are living in. Bless and keep, guide and protect us, we pray. Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line.
Amen. God bless.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Powell, for coming on and sharing. And I just want to thank each and every one of my brothers and sisters for being on the prayer line, for your faithfulness and for your continual support of this ministry and, you know, for us to come together worshiping God in spirit and in truth and bringing in the Sabbath and sharing and praying and singing. And we know we're family. And on earth, we're being unified. And, you know, because in heaven, there will be no separation. We'll be together, one family, under one banner. We know that Jesus will be our King, Lord of Lords. Amen. He has died for us, so we belong to him. He's our elder brother. He is the second Adam. Amen. So I'll go ahead and open the line for Brother Yudi at this time. I'm not sure if he's ready, but I will see if he's ready at this time. We know the time is fleeting right now. So I'll open the line for Brother Yudi, see if he's ready. Brother Yudi, your line is open.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. And thank you very much for opening up my line. Sister Caller,
amen.
We want to thank all of you for being on. I want to thank the Lord for the Sabbath and as well as the many bountiful blessings that he has bestowed upon us throughout this week. Words cannot explain the various blessings that the Lord has, showered us with this past week. Sister Carla was with us, I think, last Sabbath. We went out. She visited us in Arkansas. We went out to do some practical evangelism. We were out in the community passing out Great Controversies and National Sunday Laws and many other books, as well as, focusing on the right hand of the gospel, the health message. We generated some contacts, and this week Brother Mozart contacted some of those folks who left messages, so we ask that you would keep them in continued prayer, that they will follow through with that which they had promised to do for the Lord. Also, the work is increasing in this area. Words cannot explain. I think I've spoken too much on this topic. You need to hear from others to see what actually is happening in Arkansas. We are seeking help, dire help, right now because we are getting very busy, even busier than the way that it used to be. So we are pleased. We are asking for your prayers and for your help as well. You know, today's message, you know, is going to be about the days of Elijah and of Elisha. The days of Elijah and of Elisha. We're going to start with a word of prayer. I invite you to turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to pray in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. We're going to ask the Lord to join us tonight. Heavenly Father, again, please give us understanding as we are living in the days of Elijah and of Elisha. We are seeing the various things that are happening all across the country. And all around us, we thank you for a safe haven, Father, that you've given unto us, whereby we can come here and still be able to pray together, to study together, to seek your Holy Spirit. We ask for divine intervention. We thank you for the Sabbath, and we ask that you would lead us, O God, into all truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go to 1 Kings chapter 17, there was a verse that I was looking at, and I wanted to share this with you as well. And this is going to be found in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. I'm going to go to the eSword here and attempt to share this verse with you. We're going to Micah chapter 6, verse 8. All right. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Can someone read Micah chapter 6 for us, please, on the line? And verse 8, I want to apologize for last Sabbath, Friday night, which we went out to visit with someone from the community, the whole group of us, and we ended up being there a lot later than we thought, and I had no service whatsoever in that area. We could not call. I could not call the line to say anything. I had no service. We ended up, you know, these were Roman Catholics. We visited them. They had over 1,100 acres of property, 1,100 acres on the mountain. And the guy that we visited basically said, you know, he was living in another state. He was a teacher. And he said the Lord convicted him that something was about to happen. But he didn't know exactly what it was. And the Lord told him to leave his job, to move out of the city, to purchase property in order to have it as a safe haven for those who are getting ready to leave the city to come in and inhabit. This man has 1,100 acres. That's 1,100 acres. And the Lord had put us in his path. And he's a Roman Catholic. To reveal to him what is getting ready to happen, to show him that it is the national Sunday law. He said the Lord showed him that it's going to be chaos in the cities and that they needed to put together a place where they can house about 100 people. Now, as we were there last Sabbath, okay, we went around 4:30. We ended up staying past the time having a conversation about the scriptures and the word, and we ended up opening up the Sabbath with him. Sister Carla was there. You know, and some of you, if you follow us on Facebook, some of the pictures we posted of us in the country was taken at his house. He has offered to actually you know, we're still in the negotiating process to actually, you know, let us use 350 acres of that property where we can actually build and even have a camp meeting. Okay, this is a Roman Catholic. So pray for him. His name is Phil. We are asking, we're going to bring to him the third angel's message and to explain to him what is going to happen. So we are asking the Lord to give us wisdom, knowledge to know what to do. So that's where we were last Sabbath. And again, we did not intend on staying that long, but we did. And then we had no service because we were on the top of the mountain. The stars were beautiful. The man, it took three gates to get into his home. It reminds me of the three angels' message. Three gates. You have to go to one gate, second gate, third gate to get up there. He's got so many properties on that place. He's got a four-bedroom house that is not inhabited. And I said, could we use that house to have a camp meeting to do it? He's like, sure, no problem. So pray for them, you know, so we can, so the Lord can reveal to them through us the truth as it is in Jesus. So the Lord is really moving here, you know, to see what is happening. We cannot even begin to explain. And last Sunday, we went back there again to talk with them and to see what they do in that building. You know, that they own the place that they own. They have a storage. They have two greenhouses, big greenhouses, and they're asking for help. They need help, and they're willing to give, to help people, house people, and give them places to stay. So we're just asking that the Lord will help to change them and give them the true message. We've already, they know the Sabbath already. We're going to tell them about, you know, what's coming. Show them the mark of the beast through the scriptures. And we are praying that the Lord will convict his heart. And if he is one to the Lord, that man will be a powerful blessing for the carrying forth of the gospel. In Micah chapter 6, I want somebody to read chapter 6 for us. Micah chapter 6, verse. Just know, amen, when you don't see Brother Yudi, you hear Brother Yudi. Just know that we are working here to set up a place here where people can come you know, as a safe haven, if you will, that we can actually come together here in Arkansas. It's a beautiful place, friends, and the work that the Lord is doing at the store is unspeakable. It's unspeakable. So go ahead there and read for us, Micah.
Amen. Yeah, just want to concur with Brother Yudi, everything he said, and it was so, the name of the property was Narrow Path, right?
Narrow Path, yes, the Narrow Way, Narrow Way,
amen, yes, and I was like, wow, Narrow Way, so praise the Lord, yes. Micah chapter 6, verse 8 reads, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? Amen.
Amen, and thank you very much for that, Sister Carla. What does the Lord require of us? Notice, to do what? Justly. To do justly. When that word justly comes about, we need to think of justice, right? The Lord require us to do justly and to love what? To love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. You know, walking humbly, doing justly, loving mercy is not something that we can of ourselves do. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit in which to do it. Our message title is The Days of Elisha and Elijah. We're going to 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. And before we get there, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 says, now all these things happened unto them as and samples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, the Bible is telling us that the things that happened to the children of Israel were written for our what? Our admonition. We need to understand that word, admonition, right? These words that were written aforetime, hang on a second. These words that were written aforetime for us were written for our admonition, right? What is the word admonition mean? And if someone wants to answer, we want to hear from you. What is the word admonition? These words were written for our admonition. Do we have anyone that can answer that word, admonition? The definition of admonition.
Is it example?
Well, close. Think about
or encouragement.
Think about the history of the children of Israel, right? What in their history should be an admonition to us? Right? Okay.
I'm opening up a few lines. Okay.
Sure.
Does anyone wants to answer? Please press 1. I open Brother O'Neill line, Sister Powell line, and press 1 again if you want to make a statement or comment.
Okay, for our experiences.
Okay. Anyone else? Admonition. Good. Well, the word admonition in the Strong's Dictionary is the Greek word that is notisia. And that is the derivative of a word that means to call attention to. In other words, these things should call our attention to them, but primarily because they should be a warning for us. Okay? So the word admonition means a warning. So in other words, the history of the children of Israel is a warning for who? Spiritual Israel. Now let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 12. Someone goes to Revelation, the 12th chapter, and let's understand who spiritual Israel is and how the history of ancient Israel should be a warning for us. Let's go to Revelation, the 12th chapter, beginning at verse 19. And we don't have much time, so let us fairly go quickly. Someone has Revelation 12, verse 17. Revelation 12, verse 17. Amen. Revelation 12, verse 17. We have a reader. In Revelation 12, verse 17.
Okay. Anyone else is reading? I'll read Revelation 12, verse 17. It reads, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ."
Okay, so according to Revelation 12, verse 17, there is a what? A woman that the dragon was wroth with, right? Now, what was the history of the background? What was the background of the conflict that caused the dragon to be wroth with the woman? Let's go to Revelation 12, verse 1. Revelation 12, verse 1 says, "And there appeared a great woman, a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with what? The sun and the moon under her feet." Right? So this woman is clothed with the sun. Now, we know the sun is a symbol of the righteousness of who? Of Christ. The sun is a light. The Bible says that Christ is the sun of righteousness. So this woman is clothed with the sun. And what is under her feet? The moon. Now, we know that the moon is a reflection of the sun, correct? The moon is a reflection of the sun. And the sun, right, is a shining light, but the moon is a reflection of that light. And we know that the moon is a representation of the lesser light, right? So this woman, from the beginning, has the greater light, the Bible, the sun, and also has the lesser light, the spirit of prophecy. Now, the lesser light is not less in the sense that it is less important than the greater light, but the lesser light leads people to the greater light, which is the word or the sun. Are you following? So this woman in Bible prophecy is a symbol of a church. So this church is clothed with the sun. This church is clothed with the sun. This church is the church that has the light of the world. This is the light of the world. It is the light that the world needs. And the Bible tells us that, "And upon the head of this woman was 12 stars, and this woman was with child." In other words, she's pregnant. "And this woman was with child, and she was travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born." But the Bible tells us in verse 5, "And that woman brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron," Christ. "And her child was caught up with God into his throne, and the woman," the church, "fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that she should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven." There was a situation in heaven, right? The Bible says Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. "Neither was there found any more place in heaven, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." So the situation here, the great controversy, begins. And here in verse 9, we are told the dragon is cast down, and Satan then begins in verse 17 to make war with that same woman that was pregnant with Christ, the mother of Christ. The woman is the church, if you will. In verse 17, we are told that the dragon was wroth with the woman, went to make war with this woman, went to make war with the remnant of her seed. This is key, because this woman gives birth to children, and the children of this woman are the remnant church. Now, the remnant of her seed, and the Bible identifies who the remnant is, and it says, which keeps the commandments of God and have the testimony of who? Of Jesus Christ. Now, this is the church of Christ. Look back to the history of the old Jewish church and look at the mistakes that they made. Look at the examples that were left us. And we are to learn, 1 Corinthians 10:11, we are to learn from the example of the initial, the first church, and see that how their history is a type of that which we shall repeat. Brothers and sisters, in other words, all we have to do in order to understand what's going to happen to the church is to simply read the history of the children of Israel. That's why Paul counsels us. All of these things happen unto them for instance. They are written for our admonition. Now he adds, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Upon whom the ends of the world are come. So the end of the world has come upon who? Upon the last day church. The end of the world has come upon the woman. And this, therefore, the woman should go back to the history of the former church in order to learn how to move, in order to learn how to maneuver in the last days in which they live. Are you listening to me, my friend? And so one of the stories that we can read that teaches us how to move is the story of Elijah. Elijah's final days upon the earth. The days of Elisha and of Elijah. Ellen White tells us that during the time of Elijah's ministry, Elijah was the forerunner, and Elisha was the follower. Are you following? Elijah prepared the way for Elisha, a type of Christ, the both of them. The days of Elijah, Ellen White says that there were widespread apostasies that existed. And as a result, follow me carefully, Elisha was picked to lead the people. And Elisha set up the school of the prophets. And the purpose of the school of the prophets was not just a theoretical school. It is a grave mistake when prophetic schools just focus on theory, because that is not God's system of education. Remember, we all went to school. We sat in a bench for 8 hours. That is not God's way to teach. God's way is practical, my friend. So there's a theory combined with practical work. There's a practical work for us to do. There is a ark for us to build again. Noah did a practical work. Noah moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. What lesson can we learn from the history of Elisha and Elijah, the former church, that is applicable to the last day church, the seed, the remnant of God's people in which are living today? And notice what the Bible tells us regarding the days of Elisha. We're going to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And notice what the Bible reads. Have mercy. 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. The Bible says, Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So we can see that there is a history here that we need to understand, because these things are written for what? Our admonition. They are given for what? Our ensamples. They are given for our warning. So here in 1 Kings 17, the rain was being held back. In other words, the Spirit of God was withdrawn from the earth. The Spirit of God was withholding. There was a famine in the land. In Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Somebody go there. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. We need readers tonight. Amos 8, 11. Studying here. Amos 8, verse 11. There was a worldwide famine that existed in those days. And we can see that this famine is a type of the famine that the church is going to be going through. And my friends, we need to understand these subjects, these topics, from a practical standpoint as well as a theoretical. We are in Amos 8, verse 11. Let's look at the famine that is coming, and then we're going to briefly look at the famine that took place in the days of Joseph and how these things are applicable to us even today. Notice what it says in the book of Amos chapter 8, verse 11. All right, do we have anyone that can actually read that scripture for us? Amos 8, verse 11.
Amen. Because of time's sake and no one has read, I'll go ahead and do it. It said, Amos 8, 11, it said, Behold, the day come, said the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Amen.
All right, next verse.
Chapter 12, also. Okay. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it.
Amen. So we are told here that there is a famine that is coming, right? Now, we know there's a literal famine that's coming. There's a literal famine that is coming. In Bible prophecy, in light of what is happening right now in the Northeast and states like New York and California, there is a literal famine coming. And we know that we are told in the news that by Christmas, there's going to be a famine. There's going to be food is going to be scarce, right? So what is God's people to do knowing that these things are going to happen? That's literal. In the days of Joseph, was there a famine? In the days of Joseph, was there a famine in that day? And what happened? What did God do when he understood that there was a famine coming? When the dream was given to Pharaoh, God gave Joseph the interpretation thereof. Amos chapter 3, verse 7, right? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophet. God gave Joseph the interpretation. And Joseph understood that there was a work that he needed to do in order to prepare for what which was coming. In order to prepare for that which was coming, he had to do a physical as well as a spiritual preparation. And we are told that every Seventh-day Adventist should be to the world what Joseph was to Egypt. And so this famine, on the other hand, listen to this now carefully, on the other hand, this famine that the Bible is stressing is not a famine of bread. Is that what it says, Sister Carla? It is not a famine of bread. It is a famine. It is a famine for hearing the words of the Lord. It is a famine for hearing the words of the Lord. In other words, there's going to be a muffling of the true message that God has given unto us. And as a result, the people of God are going to be starved. They're going to be starved because the word of God is going to be withholden. It's going to be withholden. Now, notice what it says here in verse 2 of 1 Kings 17. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee where? Eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before the Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain, have mercy, in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwelt there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, have mercy, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, have mercy. It's a wonderful thing to have an encounter with a servant of God, isn't it? That widow woman gave to that servant of God the last that she had. And God increased her barn, increased her savings to the point that she never ran out of food again until the actual famine was done. That woman fed him not with meat, but God took him off of a diet. Have mercy. Did you notice that God took him off the diet of meat and flesh and put him on what kind of a diet? Bread and water. God put him on a bread and water diet. So we are learning things that are necessary for us to do in light of that which we see coming. Notice what it says in Prophets and Kings, page 119, paragraph 1. Prophets and Kings, page 119, paragraph 1. It says, Elijah dwelt in the mountains of Gilead. Point number one, Elijah's dwelling was where? In the mountains. So he understood that there was a crisis that was coming. And as a result, part of his preparation was to remove himself from the dwelling of the city. Country Living, page 6, says this. In Country Living, page 6, I was pleading with some families to avail themselves of God's appointed means and get away from the city to save their lives and their children. Some were loitering, making no determined effort. The angel of mercy hurried Lot and his wife and his daughters by taking hold of their hands. Had Lot hastened as the Lord desired him to do, his wife would not have become a pillar of salt. Lot had too much of a lingering spirit. My friends, do we have a lingering spirit that is not compelling us to get out of the city? I was pleading, Ellen White says, in vision with families to get out of the cities in order to save their lives and to save the lives of their children. They were making no determined effort. In other words, when you don't make determined efforts, in other words, you make an effort here and there, and then you give up. I got time. They were making no determined efforts. The angel of mercy hurried Lot and his wife and his daughters by taking hold of their hands. But Lot lingered. He had a lingering spirit. And we are told that he lost his wife because of his lingering spirit. Elisha, understanding the times, knew what to do. Romans 13, verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11 says, in that knowing the times, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Elijah dwelt in the mountains. Patriarchs, Prophets and Kings, page 119. Elijah dwelt in the mountains. He entered his mission dwelling in the mountains, being confident in God's purpose to prepare the way before him. Elijah's life was devoted to the work of reform, we are told. His was the voice of one crying in the wilderness to rebuke sin and press back the tide of evil. Elijah was crying in the wilderness. His message offered the balm of Gilead to the sin-sick souls of all who desired to be healed. Selected Messages, page 2, paragraph 356. Get out of the cities as soon as possible and purchase a little piece of land where you can have a garden. Now, there are many who are leaving the city, moving to various places, and they're moving from the city and going to the suburbs. That's not what God has called us to do. The reason why we have a country living message is because we are told that the issue of buying and selling is going to become a serious one. You know, when Ellen White says that, look, she said, the things that the Lord showed me is going to happen. You know how sometimes in hesitation of something, you blow it up and make it seem bigger than it's going to be? She says, pen could not write what I saw that is going to get ready to happen in the city, New York City, every city of the country is going to go aflame. That's what the guy was saying. We went to go see the Roman Catholic guy. He said, the Lord tell me that every city is going to be aflame and that people are going to be blocked. They won't be able to get out. I said, brother, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you. He said, therefore, the Lord told me to purchase some property. And he said, I started by purchasing 20 acres. I was looking for 20 acres. Then he said, the Holy Spirit tapped me and said, 20 acres? Is that all you think I can afford you? So you're going to put me in a box? So he broadened his horizon. Get out of the cities as soon as possible and purchase a little piece of land where you can have a garden, where your children can watch the flowers growing and learn from them lessons of simplicity and of purity. Out of the cities is my message at this time. Be assured that the call is for our people to locate miles away from the large cities. Have mercy. Locate miles away from the large cities. The Lord calls for his people to locate away from the city. For in such an hour as you think not, have mercy. Did you hear what the Lord said? People they're looking at the political scene right now. And they're saying, well, I got a little bit more time left. I can see that, you know, things are getting a little better. Did you hear what this servant of the Lord says? For such a time as you think not, fire and brimstone will be rained from heaven upon these cities. Have mercy. have mercy. Fire and brimstone. The cities are going to go ablaze, my friend. Fire and brimstone are going to go, are going to light these cities on fire. This is the first part as we are looking at this. The purpose is for us to have a garden, not only for character building, but also for us to have the proper food. Notice what it says in the book Five Testimonies, Volume 5, page 217. The church has turned back from following Christ, her leader, and is steadily treading towards Egypt. Yet few are alarmed or astonished at their want of spiritual power. Have mercy. Satan wants us to not be alarmed. It's, in other words, it's okay. Things are going to get back to normal. Once people are vaccinated, things are going to be fine. We're going to go back to normal. My friends, no, no, no. This is part of God's plan. This should awaken us, my friends, to get out now before it's too late. Get out now before they block the bridges. Get out now, out of these cities now, my friends. Because there is coming some trouble. And, you know, Biden promises a cold, dark winter. Did you hear what he said? There's coming a cold, dark winter. Have mercy. That's what he promised. A cold, dark winter, my friends. And my friends, when he says a dark winter, he means dark winter. You're going to see COVID-19 on the rise again. They're going to shut down things this time. They're going to close transportation from one state to another. They're going to shut things down, and when things are shut down to a certain degree and you cannot leave those cities, it's too late. It's too late. And of mercy, God is warning our lingering spirit to move, 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 move. Life in the cities is false and artificial. Country Living, page 6. The intense passion for money getting, that's what it's about. The whirl of excitement and pleasure seeking. The thirst for display and luxury and extravagance. All are forces that, with the great masses of mankind, are turning the mind from life's true purpose. The life of the city turns our mind from life's true purpose, which is serving God. They are opening the door to 1,000 evils. Upon the youth, they have almost irresistible power. That's why youths are so unable to leave the city. They can't do it. It is irresistible. The luxury, the extravagance, the passion for money getting, the pleasure seeking, the thirst for display, the show off, the new car, the new sneakers. This is life in the city. All these forces, with the great masses of mankind, are turning our mind from life's true purpose. Elijah understood that in order to carry about his mission, he must dwell where he can hear the great God of the universe speaks to him. I'm going to close right here. I don't know how many warnings the Lord can give us, friends. And God has already made a way for us. Many of us want to see point A to point B, to point Z, but God has made a way. He has already made a way. The famine that was coming calls for us to make preparation now. We can't learn to trust God in persecution while we don't trust him now. If we cannot run with the footmen now, how can we keep up with the horse? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we ask for your mercy. We ask for strength. For wisdom and knowledge and understanding on this, your Sabbath day, Lord. Please. Oh, Father, I pray for the souls of those who are on this line. Those who are lingering to leave, have mercy upon them. We pray for you to show us the way, Father. We pray for you to give us that understanding, that might, that though we cannot see the end from the beginning, we can depend upon you, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. Please, Lord, grant us thy peace, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Yudi, for that solemn message. And I want to thank my brothers and sisters for joining us. I pray that you have received this warning, you have received this admonition, this example, the instruction from the Word of God and what we should be doing at this time, what we should have done a long time ago, but God in his mercy has given us grace and time. And brothers and sisters, there's no time will soon be no more. So let's pray for our children, our family, our friends, our loved one that's still in the city, that's still lingering. May the Lord have mercy upon them. Let's continue to pray for each other. Amen. So I pray that all have a good night and that you will seek the Lord and continue to pray and fast and afflict your soul and continue to intercede between the living and the dead and pray, of course, for the living as we draw nearer to God. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the men servant. We thank you for the message. Lord, we ask that you will help us, O Father. We ask that your Holy Spirit will stir up our heart to move, to do something, O Father, to prove you, O Lord, knowing that you have prepared a place, knowing that whatever you said you will do, we only have to trust. We have to believe. As the word says, faith without work is dead, Lord. Some has faith and no work. Some has work and no faith. Give us both, O Father, so that we can finish this work, so that we can see you, so that our family and our friends can get on the ark, O Father, and our household, so that we can be saved, O Lord. Not my will, but thine will be done, O Father, in the name of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is a solemn time. Help us, Lord. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come, Lord.